Right. How are we doing this evening? So good to see you back for the Lord's Supper tonight, communion. And as always, we practice open communion here. So if you've prayed to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, we invite you to partake of the elements with us this evening. We'll normally, this evening with a small crowd like we have tonight, we'll just gather down here in the front, okay? And our deacon and his helpers will have the elements out here for you, and you'll just be able to come by and get those. And we'll probably just do bread first, and then the cup, and then we'll have a time of prayer for the revival. Amen?
Amen.
You have your Bibles, take them and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll begin reading tonight in verse 23. And we'll take it through verse 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23, and we'll take it through verse 32. All right, let's all stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, God's Word reads, beginning in verse 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man," verse 28 there, "but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, and we thank you, Lord, that we can gather in your name tonight, that we can gather around the table. We can come together as the body of Christ, as your called out ones here at New Hope. And Lord, we can participate and remember tonight what you've commanded us to remember. We love you. We praise you. Thank you for being in the midst of what we're doing here this evening. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Well, here we are. We're at the church of Corinth. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Here we are. We're at the church in Corinth. And they were not getting the Lord's Supper. They were not doing it right. There was some selfishness going on, and it was an agape love feast, and you had all kinds of drunkenness going on at the Lord's Supper. You had all kinds of selfishness going on, the haves and the have-nots, and the have-nots going without, and the haves having everything, and it was just, I guess, a mockery of what the Lord's Supper is supposed to be. A time of unity, a time of fellowship, a time of experiencing God's love for each of us and affirming our love for Him and for one another. Amen?
Amen.
But as we look at this verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup," that's what I want us to think about this evening. Not that we are mistreating the Lord's Supper. I don't think we've done that here. I don't think we do that here. I think we're very reverent, forthcoming when we do the Lord's Supper. And everybody comes and tries to be prayed up and ready to receive the elements as best they know how. But we do want to examine ourselves in perhaps some other areas. And what do you mean by some other areas? Well, here we are on the eve of coming up on church revival. Church revival, very, very important in the life of the church. This will be a Sunday through a Wednesday where we will be the closest we will be until we have our next revival to an actual New Testament church. The New Testament church met daily. Amen? That's what they did. Now, the difference here, we won't be in somebody's house. We will be in God's house. Amen? As we come together. And we probably, there will be some that will break bread together before, have a share a meal. And there will be some that will break bread after, share a meal. But for the most part, we won't all eat together before we feed on the Word of God together. But we will be New Testament in the fact of we will be meeting Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Amen? So that's what's going on there. So as we get ready to do that, the Holy Spirit needs to be free to work. We don't want to quench Him, and we don't want to grieve Him. So tonight I want to talk to you in lieu of the Lord's Supper, in preparation of the Lord's Supper, in the spirit of verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. I want us to think about, and I've covered some sins with you before in preparation for other revivals, but the sin I want us to deal with tonight is the sins of speech. Everybody say it with me, sins of speech. One more time, sins of speech. God places enormous importance on our speech. Would you agree with that? Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Today's society, the culture in which we live, has experienced an unprecedented explosion of vile and wicked speech. We could say with, you know, it was bad, let's say 25, 30 years ago, but with the advent of technology and with the advent of the interweb and the internet and social media and all of this stuff, it's just off the chart, isn't it? I mean, I'm not saying these things are bad. I'm not saying Facebook is bad, Twitter is bad, text is bad. I'm not saying that is bad. These things can be used for good, but boy, the devil sure has used them for bad. Amen? He's used them for bad. Today's society has experienced an unprecedented explosion of vile and wicked speech. The sinfulness of this speech is being played out over and over again. And where it is just, it's hard to wrap your head around. We find it even within the presidential election cycle. Right? Don't you see that? Am I the only one that sees that there? I mean, it just jumps up. It's right there. I mean, you're just like, what? What? Yeah, that's where we're living. That's the day in which we're living, right? Somebody disagrees with you and you tell your supporters, punch them in the mouth. Throw them out. I mean, you know, people got to leave and people got to go. You know, they can't come in and disrupt. But to tell your people to turn on them physically, that's just crazy, right? I mean, that's just, what are we thinking? I don't think we're thinking when we do that. So that is the culture. That is, and so we get bombarded with that. That comes in over the airways. That comes in over the Twitter feed. That comes in over the Facebook. That comes in over the radio. That comes in all the time. And for us as Christians, we often, without even knowing we are succumbing to the culture, end up becoming involved in significant sins of speech. I want to share with you four sins of speech. And there's more than four, but for time's sake and for how much we can pull our forks out and eat our crow's sake, we'll keep it to four tonight. We want to ask God for discernment. We want to ask God for discernment in a few moments when we get down here. During the invitation time, before we receive the elements, we want to ask God for discernment as we prayerfully examine our words. We prayerfully examine our words. Because see, the first sin of speech, or sins of speech I want to share with you, are what are known as inappropriate speech. What do you mean by inappropriate? Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Our words should minister grace, right? Inappropriate speech doesn't do that. Talking about inappropriate speech, Ephesians 5:4 says, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks." I think we get the gist of what inappropriate speech is. Let me ask you some questions so that we can kind of single in on it. Do you ever speak slang words that are crude Yeah, I've done that. I've done that. How about you? Ever speak slang words that are crude? Do you use God's name in any way other than worship, honor, and praise? Well, if we're doing that, we need to stop that. Have you engaged in off-color jokes or conversation? Either on Facebook or Twitter or with somebody face-to-face or via an email. Friend, that's your speech. It may be coming out of your fingers. That's just like you saying it with your tongue. Have you engaged in off-color jokes or conversation? Do you let the filthiness of our society, do you let it creep? Do you let it slide? Do you let it slip into your speech? Friend, what I want to tell you tonight as we prepare for revival, if we don't want to come in here with the Holy Spirit grieved, if we want to come in here with the Holy Spirit free to work, we need to deal with our speech, our inappropriate speech. Don't let the filthiness in. If you've let the filthiness in, it's time to clean it up, friend. Well, Pastor, what's the point of application? The only point of application I can tell you is what I've been doing today is taking it to the Lord in confession and repentance. The question was, did you get a nap? Hope you got a nap. If you didn't see NASCAR, didn't get one, been in prayer all afternoon. Because I'm as convicted as you are hearing this. Amen? As we prepare God's Word and read God's Word and preach God's Word. Inappropriate speech. We want to ask God for discernment as we prayerfully examine our words. Inappropriate speech, number one. But secondly, lying speech. Lying speech. Matthew 5:37 says, "But let your communication be, yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." Right? Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 says, "Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." I think we all know what lying speech is. But let me ask some questions to hone it in so we can kind of figure it out in our own mind's eye where we're at. Do you ever lie, exaggerate? Preachers call that speaking ministerially. It's still lying, right? Do you ever lie, exaggerate, make yourself look better? Are you careful to follow through with promises? Are you careful to follow through with vows, commitments you make to God and to others? Boy, I want to tell you, my kids hold me accountable in this area. And I'm telling you, I have faltered so many times with them. You're tired, you're exhausted. They keep pressing, they keep pushing. And all you need to do, my wife keeps reminding me, all you need to do is just say no. And what will I do? I will let a crack in, I will open it up, and before long I'm agreeing to what my body and my finances and my mind cannot deliver. And guess who reminds me of it the following day, or the following week, or the following month? Those kids do. They don't forget anything. They don't forget anything. So what does Dad need to do? Boy, Dad needs to confess that and repent and turn of that and apologize to them. Amen? Right? Is your word your bond? Or are you somewhat unreliable? Do you frequently fall short in things you said you would do? If so, this reveals an integrity problem. Does it mean you're headed to hell? Does it mean you've lost your salvation? It means you need to get some things straight when it comes to lying speech. Amen? So that the Holy Spirit can be free to work. Not quenched, not grieved. God hates lying and inconsistency, but He loves you. Amen? He died on the cross for you. So fully confess and renounce any patterns of untruthfulness or unreliability. So we want to ask God for discernment as we prayerfully what? We prayerfully examine our words. There's that inappropriate speech that, boy, gets us, culture just kind of seeps in. We don't want to let that happen, but sometimes it does. There's that lying speech. It's so easily... Oh, so easily to get in that pattern of doing that. But thirdly, there's that complaining speech. Complaining speech. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10 says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you know what this verse says? "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." The children of Israel, we remember this. Well, if you've been through the Old Testament, studied Exodus at all, the children of Israel continually complained about God's provision. continually complained about God's provision. As a result, they perished in the wilderness. Friends, as Christians, we are definitely commanded to rejoice and give thanks in all things. Well, you know who's a model to me of this? James Trevathan over here to my left and Brother James over here to my right. Both of these Jameses know how to thank God. Amen? If James would have been through the situation I went through yesterday at O'Reilly's, he would have had a testimony of praise about it. Amen? How he didn't get in a wreck. Right? How he finally got the right part. How God was gracious to give him that. Amen? Right? This brother's got, he's further along in his walk when it comes to complaining speech than perhaps even your pastor is. Amen? But I'm growing and I'm trying. Amen? The children of Israel, I don't want to be like the children of Israel, do you? No, I don't want to be like those guys. I want to be that 1 Thessalonians 5:18 guy. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, let me tell you something. You can slip up and have some complaining in you. That complaining thing can pop up every now and then, but you cannot be a continual, perpetual complainer and expect to walk in the power of God's Spirit. You cannot do it. So are you filled with an attitude of gratefulness and praise, or are you filled with grumbling and complaining? Which one's in you? Are you always looking on the dark side of things, or are you the eternal optimist? Huh? Right? Don't call yourself a realist. You're either an optimist or a pessimist. Right? All right? So sift through that. Do you trust God for supernatural joy, or do you give in to your murmuring and complaining? Oh, trust Him, friend. Trust Him. The attitude of murmuring and complaining is a sin that blocks God's full blessing on your life. And if you're willing to change, if you are willing to change, then God can and will give you a miraculous joy. You believe that? Amen. He can, He will, He wants to. So, if we are struggling in this area of perpetual negative attitude, then we need... There are going to be times in your life. There are going to be times in your life where you're going to wake up on the wrong side of the bed, kick the dog day, or stomp on the cat's tail day, whatever it may be, or pull the horse's tail day. I mean, I don't know, whatever you got at the house, right? But it's going to be that kind of day for you. But that's going to be one day in five, or one day in seven, or one day in ten, or whatever. But for folks that really struggle in this area of perpetual, continual, negative attitude, and they've tried to give it to God. They've tried to lay it down. They've tried before to confess and repent. They've tried to go to God's Word. They've tried, and they just can't get over it. Let me tell you something. Do not be embarrassed, ashamed. Don't feel like you're less than another Christian. Friend, there's nothing wrong with going to the counselor, a Christian one, or going to a good Christian doctor and getting some blood work done and finding out if all the salts are right in your brain, figuring out if all the hormones are right in your different places in your body. Physiologically, those things can do what? Play a number on us and bend us towards this direction of negativity and complaining and all of this stuff. So nothing wrong to say, hey, I struggle with depression because of this level of chemical not right, or this level of hormone not right, and I have to take this pill or I have to take that pill. Praise God, He's given you that. Amen. Giving you that avenue to get past that. Does everybody see that? Amen. Amen. I want you to be specific. Be specific when we think about complaining speech and how to get free from it. Be specific about ways you need to rejoice and give thanks. You got air in your lungs? Give thanks. You got air conditioning in here tonight? Give thanks. Amen. Good music tonight, give thanks. A padded pew to sit on, give thanks. A Bible you can read, give thanks. Amen. Hot water to bathe with, give thanks. A clean bed to lie in, give thanks. Food in the fridge, give thanks. Amen. Somebody that loves you, give thanks. Somebody to love, give thanks. Amen. A church to call home, give thanks. Praise God. Be specific about ways you need to rejoice and give thanks. If you're giving thanks and praising Him, that's just less opportunity to do what? To complain, to murmur, to be negative. We want to ask God for discernment as we prayerfully examine our words. There's the sin of inappropriate speech. There's the sin of lying speech. There's the sin of complaining speech. And fourthly tonight, there is the sin of critical speech. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." The fact that we have critical speech is that we have completely ignored Ephesians 4:31. We have completely taken Ephesians 4:31 out of our theology. We have completely are hard-hearted to Ephesians 4:31. Friend, Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Critical speech. A tragic modern trend is the rising number of church fights and congregational splits. The question is this: what is the cause of this spiritual disintegration? The most obvious cause is that the world's critical patterns have infiltrated the church. That's it. That's it. In today's society, people are ready to fight. People are ready to break vows. People are ready to sue at the drop of a hat. Sue their church family. Sue their church. What? Yes. God intends for His church to be a different place than the world, does He not? Yeah. The church is to be a place where the healing power of salvation and the encouraging fellowship of the saints is readily available. Not a place to continue the bickering, but a place to continue the praying and the praising, and the preaching. Amen? That's what the church is supposed to be. So friend, are you guilty of critical, angry speech? And when I say angry, I'm not talking about righteous anger. I'm not talking about being upset at abortionists, or being upset at the Republican Party, or being upset at all the junk on TV about the candidates. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about a righteous anger. I'm talking about an unrighteous anger. I'm not talking about you being angry about same-sex marriage. I'm talking about you are guilty of critical, angry speech. Do you argue and fight with others? Argue and fight with others? Does your speech reflect an underlying unrighteous anger and impatience with those around you? Do you speak unkindly to those in your family? Or are you guilty of any form of gossip or slander of others? Do you speak evil? Do you speak evil of people behind their back? Behind their back. What we want to think about in a few moments when we get into the altar tonight. You want to honestly... I mean, you don't have to. You don't have to do anything tonight. Amen? Yeah, I mean, I can't force anybody to do a thing.
That's right.
But what I would invite you to do is to honestly examine your speech. If you want to come into the revival, we come to revival, and a lot of times by the end of revival, we're ready for a revival meeting. Well, that blows my mind. We get to revival, and by the end of the fifth service Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, by golly, man, we're ready for revival. Well, revival's over. Hey, revival's over. We've had it. So if we can do the difficult things, the hard things, the vulnerable things, the self-introspective things, right? The sometimes emotional things, the cathartic things, the things where we make a decision now to get right, to get clean, to not just be sorry, but to start the process of repentance. If we can do that now, if we can honestly examine our speech and ask God for His forgiveness and be specific in our confessions and fully surrender your speech to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, amen, then perhaps when Larry Jordan and Ernie Overstreet roll up here a week from Sunday, a week from today, is that it? We'll be ready. We'll be ready to have a revival meeting. Revival is for the church. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You this evening, Lord, we ask that as we get ready to prepare to receive the elements tonight, that as 1 Corinthians 11:28 says about examining oneself so that we may eat the bread and drink the cup, Lord, may we do that. May we examine our hearts in this area of speech. Sins of speech, Lord. Inappropriate speech, lying speech, complaining speech, critical speech. These things intersect at different places in each person that's here tonight. Lord, may we be willing to confess and not just be sorry, but repent, seek to turn. And Lord, as we need Your help and direction, may we cry out to You and call out to You in prayer to be delivered from where we stumble and where we fall. We're thankful for Your grace tonight. We're thankful for Your forgiveness tonight. We're thankful for Your mercy tonight. And we're thankful that You love us tonight. Lord, we want to be ready to receive the elements this evening. And we want to be ready for revival. It's in Your name we pray. And everyone says, if the altars are open, if you want to come and pray, Miss Kathy, if you could play something softly, you come. You need to pray in the altar. I'll be down front if you need to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You need to make other decisions. You come. All right, Brother Carr, if you and Brother Ronnie and Brother James will come and prepare the elements, we'll do the bread first. Amen. Very good, brother. Y'all will just get a plate of the elements of the bread, and just one in the middle and one on each side. Well, we got two. Okay, that's fine. Very good. Y'all will just come and approach and get your element, and we'll partake of the bread at this time. We invite you to stay down front after we receive the elements. We're going to have a special time of prayer for the revival. Got everybody? The beauty of preaching a strong message on sins of speech in lieu of the Lord's Supper is the beautiful reminder that Jesus took care of all those sins.
Amen.
Took care of all those sins with His body. Jesus is a gracious Son of Man, gracious Son of God. Amen?
Amen.
The Word of God reads, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." We're gonna thank him in a moment, and then we're going to take up the bread. But just a few comments. Jesus' greatest hour, his greatest need, he was betrayed. And he still goes to the cross. And he still allows the beating, and they still pluck his beard, and they still spit in his face, and they still punch him in the face, and they still lash his back, and they do all of these things to him. We remember tonight, he paid the price. He loved us so much. I mean, you can look around the room tonight and remind yourself and remind one another that God loves you. Amen. He loves you, man, with an everlasting love, with a sacrificing love tonight. God loves you. He gave his body to be broken, to be crucified, to be pierced for each and every one of us. Let's thank him tonight, and then we'll eat. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here tonight. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice tonight. Thank you for your obedience to go the way of the cross, to carry our sin debt, to take it all the way to Calvary. Thank you for burying sin with your death. Our sin doesn't bury you. You overcome it, transcend it. Your perfect sacrifice solves the mystery of it. We praise you and thank you for that. We remember tonight as we partake of the bread. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's eat. Everyone have an element? All right. God's word reads in verse 25, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Let's say a few things about this cup, and then we'll thank him for the cup, and then we'll drink tonight from the cup. Precious blood tonight, right? Representative tonight in our hands of a new covenant, of a promise, one day to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what this cup represents, doesn't it? Yeah. One day we'll be there, right?
Amen.
Marriage supper of the Lamb, all because of the cup, shed blood of Christ. All the precious blood that flowed down Calvary's cross. as those drops hit the dirt, as Jesus' blood coagulated below him in the dirt, as they cast lots for his raiment, as it became totally dark, as he gave up his ghost, as he says, "It is finished." His blood flowed. Praise God for Jesus' blood. Amen. The blood that covers us. The blood that washes us. The blood that makes us white as snow. Amen?
Amen.
Let's thank Him for it and then we'll drink. Heavenly Father, person of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus the Son, we thank You for how You have sealed us, saved us, how You've given us this word to go about this life, these commandments, these do's and these don'ts. Lord, this Bible that we have tonight that reminds us to remember communion and the Lord's Supper. We stare long and hard and deep into the cup tonight. Our minds find it difficult to comprehend and to grasp the great love that You have for us. Sinners headed to a place called hell, saved by a Savior who shed His blood on Calvary's cross. We're eternally grateful. We're eternally thankful. And we are reminded tonight of the great sacrifice You have made. Thank You for the new covenant. Thank You for the marriage supper of the Lamb that we look forward to. We praise You tonight for Your abstinence and not drinking of this cup until we're all together with You. May that time come. We look forward to the day. Thank You for all that You do for us, how You help us, forgive us, convict us, and grow us. It's in Your name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Let's drink. We're not done, but we're close. We want to have a time of prayer for the revival meeting. I want you to join me in prayer as we close the time out. And then as we close, if Brother Ronnie and Brother James Trevathan, if they would be so kind to go in the back after we're dismissed, they will have their open Bibles open. And as always, we take an offering for benevolence. Tonight, we're taking an offering for benevolence to help Miss Karen Tate with her parking fees driving down to the medical center. So every dollar given tonight.
How's Mike doing?
Mike had a better day yesterday. I don't have an update on Mike today. So that's what's going on, but it's $14 a day to park, whether you're there for a minute, an hour, or all day. So we want to help in that way, and so these guys will have open Bibles for that tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Join me together. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You, Lord, and we thank You for this time of remembrance, this time of sobering reminder about our speech and about the power of our tongues and our mouths. And Lord, that they can be used for, they can be used for good, godly things. But Lord, if we're not careful, oh, our flesh can get in control and our focus can get off of You. And before we know it, the mouth is speaking things in the heart should have been confessed and turned from. Lord, help us walk the narrow path. Lord, we don't want to play the shame game and we don't want to beat ourselves up. We just want to bring the sin to You. Confess it. Repent of it. Know that it's been put under the blood as we've remembered it tonight and move on. Lord, help us do that. Help us be ready for revival. Help us be prayed up. and prepared. And Lord, I pray we have revival. We've got the day scheduled and an evangelist and music evangelist coming. Brother Larry and Brother Ernie. Well, Lord, I pray the people are ready. I pray we're ready to receive it. We pray for these men a special prayer. We pray that you give them health, that you give them stamina, that you give them clarity of mind, that you just lead them, Lord, your Holy Spirit leads them. We pray for their spiritual walk this coming week. Lord, they'd be about your business and doing the things they need to do to be prepared to be in front of this congregation. We pray that ultimately, Lord, you would get the glory and the honor for what is done here at the revival. Lord, it wouldn't be about any one person or anything, but it would be solely about you, Jesus Christ, lifted up, drawing sinners to his side, your word being preached faithfully, your congregation singing to you in spirit and truth, in this place, a house of prayer. Lord, may it be a God revival, a Jesus revival, a Holy Spirit free to move revival in the hearts of his people. Lord, we pray you lay on our hearts people that are unchurched, people that were once churched here but are not churched any longer, folks that are new in the area or new at our jobs or new at our school, Lord, whatever it may be, people that we can reach out to. Lord, may we reach out. Lord, others that are just struggling. They've got a church home. We're not trying to get them to come join this church, but they're just struggling. They need to be in revival. Lord, may we invite them to revival. They can come to this revival. No strings attached. Just come hear God's word. Come be blessed. Come sing. Come pray. Come hear God's word. Lord, may you have your will and your way this revival meeting. May we welcome it, continue to pray for it, and may you get the glory and honor for it. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. All right. These two guys will be in the back. We'll be taking that benevolence offering for Miss Karen Tate. God bless y'all. Y'all are dismissed. Thank y'all. See you Wednesday.